Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and give us a call, 208-991-4783. Well, before we get started, I do want to give some thank yous to those who have donated since I last recorded an episode 3 days ago. So we've received donations from Mark, David, Ross, Jim, Val, Tom, Helen, Chandler, and Ariana. Well, thank you so much for your support, and every one of them will receive access to our premium site, which we provide to anyone who gives a tip of $7 or more. And now we're going to turn to today's program, yours truly, Johnny Dollar. I misspoke last week. I said we only had 3 episodes of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, left. We actually have 4 counting today's. The Maynard Collins matter. This one is going to be a little tough because there's a couple spots where the sound quality's low. Plus, the beginning of the show is missing. But thanks to John Abbott's book, The Who Is Johnny Dollar Matter, we do know how the story begins. Johnny gets a call from Ed Grimm of the Athena Life and Casualty Company that an insured by the name of Maynard Collins was found dead in Colorado Springs in what appears at first glance to be a car accident, but they think that he had died before the accident. And the beneficiary is the wife, Delia Collins. So Johnny flies out to Colorado Springs and goes to meet with Lieutenant Anders of the police force out there. And that's where our story begins. Again, sound quality is not the greatest, so we do the best we can here. But here now is Joined in Progress, the Maynard Collins Matter.
Suppose you tell me how much you know if Miss Ann Collins was dead before the act of double indemnity clause in this policy. You won't find out. You could have saved yourself a trip, Louis. Now, I'll tell you when off of Canyon Road, a little after 10 o'clock, that coroner's report 2 hours when the accident occurred. There's a blunt instrument. Someone left.
Yep. 2 hours later, that car drops off at his wife.
Apparently wasn't home. He brought her home about 11. That checks. Cab picked her, moved them home. She's been in who her doctor says. We'll drive over there and see her any time now.
Drive over there?
Oh, man, that's about 5 miles nearer them. Only some people live there up the top of Little Canyon. Arrow. That's a lot of quick turn for a stern.
Smash. Is he the only one who heard of this?
That's not too surprising. Look up the top of the canyon. His neighbors at the first turn of the road below Collins. No one lives in between them. After Pinkert, there isn't much of us the way into Manitou.
Pretty isolated.
The road is, but it comes out right on Manitou's main drag. You know how to handle that road, you could get right from the center of things in 3 minutes. Suppose we go out there, see Mrs. Collins. You can see the layout yourself.
Fine. Does she know yet that her husband was murdered?
Yeah. Doc told her a little while ago. Now that's where the car went over there.
Uh-huh. How much of a drop is it?
Oh, 40, 50 feet, I guess. They got the car out, though, an hour or so ago. Should have a report on that before too long.
That must have been Pinkett's house there at the curve.
Yeah, we'll check him after we talk to Mrs. Collins. Look, you see? The way the canyon slopes, you can see the tops of those buildings.
Ah, yeah. And they're on the main street we just turned off.
That's right. So it isn't as isolated as it looks up here. Well, looks like this is it. Altitude will cut your wind.
Oh, I gotta live 5 or 10 minutes up here. Never notice it.
Takes a while to get used to it, all right.
Yes?
Lieutenant Anders, to see Mrs. Collins.
Oh, sure. Come in. Come in.
This is Mr. Dollar.
Hello.
How you doing?
Ralph Turner, Aunt Delia's nephew. She's this way, living here. Aunt Delia, this is Lieutenant...
Lieutenant Anders, Mrs. Collins, Colorado Springs Police.
Oh, yes, Lieutenant Anders.
And this is Mr. Dollar. He represents your husband's insurance company.
I see.
Mrs. Collins.
Well, sit down, gentlemen. Ralph, please, all of you. Where's your mother, Ralph?
I think she's in the kitchen. She thought you ought to try to eat something.
Oh, my. Tell her not just yet. Tell her I'd like for her to be here.
All right, Aunt Tilly.
Well, we none of us know what to do, you know. It's just unbelievable.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Dolan.
Thank you. Now, is there some question about the insurance, Mr. Dolan?
No, not really, Mrs. Collins. Since the accident wasn't the cause of your husband's death, there's no question about it at all. I'm just here to get a complete report for the company.
Well, I know Maynard was very prompt about payments.
The policy's in order, Mrs. Collins.
Oh, this is my sister, Mrs. Turner, Lieutenant Anders, and Mr. Dolan.
Oh, how do you do?
I imagine these gentlemen want to ask some questions, Ada. I wanted you and Ralph here in case I forget anything.
Oh, of course, dear. Anything we can do.
You got back to the house at 11 o'clock last night, Mrs. Collins. In a taxi, I understand.
That's right. I'd been gone all evening. Since, well, it must have been around 7, wasn't it, Ada?
Just about exactly 7. You see, our Thursday nights are a regular ritual with us. They always time out just about the same, don't they, Ralph?
Yeah, just about.
Ada means we do the same thing every Thursday night. She and Ralph call for me about 7. We have dinner in Manitou, then go over to the springs to the Pueblo to see a movie. I usually get home around 10:30 or 11, depending on when the show is out.
All three of you have dinner and see the picture together?
Well, no. Ralph usually eats before they pick me up. He's just our chauffeur. Takes us to the restaurant in Manitou. We take a taxi to the springs and taxi back.
They drop me on the way. It's cheaper that way.
Was your husband home when you left last evening?
Yes, he was. He was just finishing his dinner when Ralph came to the door for me.
As far as you know, did he have any plans for the evening?
No. He usually plans something for Thursdays. Last night he'd spoken of Mr. Pinkett coming up and then playing cards, but for some reason that was called off.
Is your neighbor down the road?
Yes.
You don't know why their plans were called off?
No, I really don't. Maynard was talking to you, Ralph. Did he mention anything?
No, he just said Mr. Pinkett said he couldn't make it. He asked me if I could come back. I told him I was going bowling, if he could come with me. He said no. I sure wish I'd come back now.
Ralph and his uncle were devoted to one another. You see, Ralph's father, my husband, passed away some years ago. Maynard's just been wonderful to us both ever since.
He sure has.
Well, Maynard and I never had any children of our own, Lieutenant, so Ralph, of course, was special to be for us.
Mrs. Collins, this may be blunt, but I'll have to ask you. Does your husband have any enemies, anyone who might want him out of the way?
Why, not that I know of. I just can't imagine anyone not liking Maynard. I suppose that's just natural.
Someone killed him.
I know.
Look, do you have to say things like that?
I'm afraid so.
Well, that's all right, Ralph. Tenant has every right. I want to help all I can.
Mrs. Collins, was your car in front of your house when you left last night?
Yes, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Maynard often left it there.
Yes, it was there, all right, parked heading down the canyon. Remember, Ralph? We pulled up just in front of it.
Yeah, we did.
Well, is it important where the car was?
It was important to the murderer, Mrs. Collins. It must have looked like a cover-up for him. A natural just sitting there in front of the house.
Did it happen in the car?
We don't know yet. We don't know where it happened. We have men checking outside. Some of them will be coming in here in a while to give the house a going over. After that, I get a report on the car, we should know a lot more.
I hope so, Lieutenant. Whoever it was, I hope you find him soon.
We'll get back to you, Mrs. Collins. We'd appreciate it if you'd stay here together. We may want to talk to you again.
We'll be here. We won't leave Aunt Delia.
And if you think of anything that might help us, let us know. By the way, Ralph, where do you do your bowling?
The Clark Lanes, Manitou.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. You can check.
We will.
We did, too. According to the bowling alley reservation book, Ralph at the third alley from 7:15 to 10:15. A regular Thursday night customer, the owner said. Apparently, the whole family spent their Thursday nights in a prescribed manner, and everyone was properly accounted for between 8 o'clock when Maynard Collins was murdered and a little after 10 when Collins' neighbor, Doug Pinkard, heard the crash. It seemed like a good idea to talk to Pinkard.
Nope, it couldn't have been any earlier. I know, because the 10 o'clock news just come on when I heard the crash.
Were you alone when you heard it, Mr. Pinkard?
I'm a bachelor, Mr. Dollar. Alone a good bit of time.
You called off some plans you had last night, Mr. Collins, didn't you?
Yes, I did, but what difference does that make?
Do you know that Collins was murdered?
No, I don't know that. How could he be murdered and go off the road?
He'd been dead 2 hours when that happened. You're sure about the time you heard the crash?
I'm positive. 2 hours, well, that would make him dead around 8 o'clock.
That's right. Does that mean anything to you?
No, it doesn't mean anything to me.
You didn't hear anything around 8 o'clock, any commotion or struggle or a car going by or anything?
No, not at 8 o'clock. I heard a car around 7, but that was Delia and them. I saw them go. They're regular as clockwork, you know, every Thursday night.
And that's the last car you saw the crash?
That's the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the last one. You know.
You're sure you'd hear a car if it came by this way?
Well, I usually do. I don't get a lot of traffic up here, you know. I usually take a look when I hear a car come.
Well, maybe there's another road out of here, is there, Mr. Pinkard?
No, this one sort of peters out up above Collins's. The only way to get up to Collins's is up this road here.
How well do you know the Collins?
Well enough, I guess. I've been up to his house a lot. Mostly when she isn't there. I always had an idea she didn't care much for me. Then I'm not used to women around. Just don't know how to judge them.
You knew Mr. Collins better then?
Oh, yes, lots better. And I liked him. I liked him a lot. I'm just real sorry.
Would you say they got along all right? You think they were happy together?
You talked to Dee?
Yeah. You talked to her?
She said they got along all right?
She implied that, but I'm asking you, not her.
Well, maybe they did. Like I said, I'm not used to women. I just don't know how to judge them.
You don't think they were happy together, Mr. Pinkard?
Well, maybe they were. I don't think it was serious, though. Sometimes they fought about them.
How do you know that?
Well, Maynard told me mostly. And then a couple of times I wander in up there, and they'd be going at it a little, you know.
About anything in particular?
No, I wouldn't say so. I don't remember anything in particular. I try to stay out of things like that. You know, just get along.
Did you ever hear them going at it about money?
Oh, I guess, yes. Yes, money. Well, that's all. I was fixing to go for a climb. That's the way I spend most of my time, you know. No reason why I shouldn't go now, is there?
Mr. Pinkard. Do you have any idea who would kill Mr. Collins?
No. I can't think of anyone who'd do that.
Somehow I had the idea that Pinkard was ordinarily a man of very few words, that he'd said more in the last 10 minutes than he had for the last 10 years, but you never know. Anders was pretty stumped. I didn't blame him. No scene of the crime, no murder weapon. No one wanted Collins dead. It wasn't going to be easy. Back at headquarters, a new development was waiting for us. His name was Clint Bingham.
I run a service station, Manitou. Maynard, Mr. Collins, called me about 7:30 last night. Told me he had a flat tire he wanted me to come change. I was alone, had a couple of customers, and they might come up when it goes up with the night, and I did.
What time was that?
It was right at 8 o'clock.
Come on.
Well, I get up there, knock on the door, lights are on in the house, and then he comes to the door. Maybe he's gone somewhere, but the back. He's in the car, so I changed the tire, flatten myself, and move. So, except, maybe I'm imagining this.
What?
Well, it seemed to me I heard something. Something in the brush, you know, it could have been man or something. And, I don't know. A bit later, it sounded like something sort of running. I wouldn't want to say it for sure.
Did you tell what direction the sounds came from?
It seemed like it was down in the pictures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't think Mr. Powell thinks it's always fine to run it all out.
How about that?
Yeah, I checked in with you earlier, only I went hunting over this morning. Stuff like that. I heard about it.
Anders.
Got a couple of things for you, Lieutenant. Looks like Collins was killed with some brush not far from his back door. But it's good, though.
How about the weapon?
Yeah, they're still looking. They've checked the cars, nothing there. Just got a call from the emergency hospital. That fellow Pinkett reported the crash.
Yeah?
He walked in front of a car over in Manitou. Pretty bad shit.
We will return to yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment. If you're in the market for a Sunday night date, here are a few suggestions. Matter of fact, you needn't take your pick, you can date them all. Marie Wilson and Kathy Lewis on My Friend Irma. Eve Arden is our Miss Brooks. Mary Livingston on The Jack Benny Show. Briny Tempered Sapphire on Amos and Andy. And Janet Waldo as Corliss Archer. Stay home tomorrow night and date the whole gang over most of these same CBS radio stations. Now with our star, Edmund O'Brien, we bring you the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
It was going to be a while before Pinkard would be in condition to talk. According to the driver of the car and witnesses, Pinkard never even looked, just walked out into the path of the car.
One of the witnesses, the kid who worked at Clint Bingham's service station, said Pinkett had come in, asked for Clint, and took it very big when he learned he had gone hunting. Finally, Pinkett came around. Anders and I listened.
I knew Clint was up there at Manny's. I heard him come and go. I'd have told you, too. I knew this at Manny's. It was murders. About the time I knew Clint was there. And Clint's a good boy. I wanted to hear him say he was there first.
Holding evidence.
Serious. I don't care if it is. Man don't have two incidents. Clint and Manny, the only two I had. Manny's gone. I think it was Clint, too. I'm sure.
Why did you walk in front of the car, Mr. Pinker?
Boy said he had gone hunting. I was afraid maybe it was one year. I didn't see any car.
Vince says he heard someone running near your house when he was changing Collins' tire. Is that you, Pinker?
It was not. I never left the house last night.
Suppose you did leave the house. Suppose you killed Collins out behind his house. Vince came, he interrupted you, so you ran. You knew he might have seen you. So today you had to get to him before he got to us.
Why would I kill him?
Why would you kill him, Pinker?
Ask her, Diego. Ask her what they thought about yesterday. You were always thinking about this.
The doctor motioned us out of the room. Anders wasn't buying the quarrel or anything else much that Pinkett had said. He decided to stay at the hospital until Pinkett could talk again. With his permission, I went back to Delia Collins. She was alone.
I sent Ralph away to home for a change of clothes and the rest. I'm stronger now, and the strain's been so much for me. Oh, I'm sorry to hear about Mr. Pinkett.
Mrs. Collins, he says you and your husband quarreled yesterday.
Why? We did. Wasn't a quarrel exactly. I had my opinion, and Maynard had his. I'd even forgotten Mr. Pinkett's wounds and nothing. Doesn't see how it could be important at all now.
Anything's apt to be. Might be a big help.
Well, all right. I'm glad Ada and Ralph aren't here. It's better. I'm afraid it would hurt them. Maynard had such plans for Ralph, but I tried to tell him no one could live up to what he expected. Ralph's not much of a student, and Maynard was paying his college expenses. Yesterday, I guess Maynard went over to talk to the dean. The
college is in town?
Yes, in Springs. Mm-hmm. Maynard said the boy wasn't coming. The dean didn't think so either. Mm-hmm. Well, I took Ralph's part. I guess I always have. Anyway, Maynard said he told the dean to take the boy out of school, and he wasn't footing the bills anymore. I must admit, I was very upset. I just don't know half what he said.
You remember, did your husband say whether or not he told Ralph?
No. Well, he hadn't told him. Mm. I begged him not to. He said that was up to the dean. I thought maybe he'd see me down there. Change his mind.
It didn't seem like much to bother Anders with, not until I knew more. And when I knew more, it wasn't worth it. Dean Michener at the college hadn't told Ralph anything about his uncle's visit the day before. He planned to tell him the next morning. But after he heard about the tragedy, he decided the news would keep. I told him where he could reach me, and I rejoined Lieutenant Anders at the hospital.
They came up with a murder weapon, found it half buried under some brush. The canyon slopes down toward the main street. It's a tire iron.
Bingham's?
He says it isn't his. Tire irons are pretty much alike. We're checking his prints against those on the iron.
I can't figure Bingham showing up like he did. We wouldn't have known he was there if he hadn't told us.
Thought Pinkert had told us, or that he would. Still don't know anything about the motive. I'm waiting to put the two of them together. Someone's got to give.
Pinkert's still in bad shape?
The doc says to wait a while.
Okay, then. Be right back with you.
Thanks, I'll be back to
you. Johnny Dollar.
This is Dean Mitchell, Mr. Dollar. Now, this may not be worth anything to you, but I just found out Ralph did know that his uncle was removing him from school.
He did? How?
My secretary seems to have told him. She was here when Mr. Collins came yesterday. Being a friend of Ralph, she told him late yesterday afternoon. Something about she thought she should warn him.
I see. Well, I certainly appreciate your calling me, Dean Mitchell.
I'm very upset about this breach of trust, Mr. Dollar. I want you to know that I intend to do something stringent about it.
Now, don't be too hard on her, Dean. She may have done us all a favor. And as Ralph did know Collins was taking him out of school, Dean's secretary told him.
He did, huh?
It's the nearest thing to a motive we've got.
Yeah. How about the bowling alley? It was there 3 hours last night.
I'd like to check there again, if it's okay with you.
Go ahead. I'll try anything. I'll have him picked up and brought here.
Sure. I set pins for him. He bowls the alley 3 times every week.
Wasn't anything different about last night?
No. Just knocked the pins down. He set them up, same as any other night.
And he bowled from 7:15 till 10:15 last night, huh?
Well, I'm not sure of the time. The book had showed that.
Well, that's what the book says.
Well, then, did you say 7:15 till 10:15?
That's right.
Well, I quit before 10 last night.
You're sure about that?
Sure, I'm sure. I was home by 10, a couple miles from here. And I'll tell you something else. No one bowls on my alley from about 7:45 to 7:45. That's when I eat my dinner. My alley's closed then.
Time's fit. Ralph could have made it up to his uncle's and back while the pin girl was eating the dinner. But if he'd driven up the canyon, Pinkett would have heard him. Maybe he hadn't driven up. There's that to consider. Lieutenant Anders was considering a lot of things when I got back.
Oh, come in, Dollar. Ralph, he was beginning to open up a little. He doesn't deny he knew Collins was taking him out of school.
Why should I deny it? It didn't mean anything to me going to school. Uncle Maynard's idea in the first place. I'd have to have a better reason than that to kill him.
Did you have a better reason, Ralph?
I suppose I was bowling last night.
You weren't bowling from 7:45 till 8:15 when your uncle was killed.
Sure of that, Dollar?
The tin girl was having a dinner then, always does, she said.
How about that, Ralph?
So maybe I wasn't bowling for a while.
What'd you do in that half hour?
I don't know. Nothing important.
Did you leave the bowling alley, Ralph?
I don't know.
Here, Lieutenant, the last set of prints, Jim.
Thanks, Sergeant. Thanks very much.
This is your prints, Ralph. Murder weapon.
It didn't have anything to do with school. That's the bowling alley, right? I couldn't stand just walking around knowing what I knew. Me, I got a hold of him. After the car. After something heavy and went up.
Did you walk past Mr. Pinkett's?
No. Up the road. I climbed the canyon. Pinkett always knows who comes and goes. I got up to the back door of the house. The maid was there on the back porch. She was in the car. She even made a sound. I came down on the basement. I heard a car out front. I ran and back to the canyon and made it. The road made it.
But you went back again, didn't you?
Yeah. I thought about him. How did I find him? Maybe even Aunt Delia and Mom. Yes, and I went back. I remember the car in front. It's just me.
Why'd you do it, Ron?
It was just him. He was being such a generous guy, always paying his bills. Everybody ramming down my throat all the time. I knew he wasn't so great. I knew about him and women for a long time. Sorry for Aunt Delia, that was wrong. So I found out he was father and mom. I had to kill him.
Ralph's mother corroborated his story, and when they got through telling it to the jury, it was a very quick decision for a justifiable homicide. Expense count item 2. $175, transportation back to Hartford. The miscellaneous expense account total, $310. Remarks? The company need only pay the straight life value of the policy. The double indemnity clause was never even a factor in the case. In view of the real factors involved, I can wish that Maynard Collins had gone over that canyon in an accident. It would have been cleaner and kinder all the way around. That's true. Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars Edmund O'Brien in the title role and is written by Kathleen Height with music by Wilbur Hatch. Edmund O'Brien can now be seen starring in the Paramount Pictures Technicolor production, Silver City. Featured in tonight's cast were Ed Begley, Gil Stratton Jr., Jeanette Nolan, Virginia Gregg, Howard McNear, and Hi Everback. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
This is Dan Cumberly inviting you to join us next week at this time when Edmund O'Brien returns as...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
This is Edmund O'Brien again. I'd like to speak to you for a moment about one of the most important duties of American citizens. Today, every American has an opportunity to share in our common defense effort. And right now, this opportunity has become a duty for all of us. The armed forces of the United States need blood, our blood. The Korean campaign has gravely depleted the supply on hand, and this must be replenished if we are to afford our servicemen the protection they are giving us. No matter what your age, sex, or station in life, you can contribute to American defense by donating a pint of your blood to the men of your Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines. Call your local blood donor center or Red Cross chapter today for an appointment. Remember, your donation of blood may save the life of a wounded serviceman. Give your blood today to save a life tomorrow.
A little earlier, we mentioned the ladies who'll be on CBS Radio tomorrow night. Now, here are the men. My friend Irma shares her lazy boy friend Al with one and all. If you like him older, there is Professor Kropotkin. For a date that's shy, try Mr. Boynton, the object of Eve Arden's affections, as our Miss Brooks. Enjoy the fun with these men on most of these same CBS radio stations tomorrow night. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Welcome back. Well, gotta love the time period. Bothering Mom made the whole case justifiable homicide, though they may have been being delicate. I was a little unclear on the end, too, because they said the jury returned with a verdict of justifiable homicide. Now, usually, when we think of the main trial juries, they return with either guilty or not guilty. They don't find justifiable homicide. Though a coroner's jury might. Though I don't know if they would in this case. But an interesting episode. If a bit fragmented, I do apologize for the sound on this one. But hopefully it'll be better next week. Alright, well now we turn to listener comments and feedback. Margaret asks, is the Johnny Dollar music, particularly the five-part episodes, the same music used in Fantasy Island? Thanks. Well, let me go ahead. Let's go ahead and play the Johnny Dollar music here that was used on the five-part episodes. This is the intro from the first episode, The McCormick Matter. And then I'll answer the question.
Welcome to Johnny Dollar. Beginning tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Welcome back. Well, I'll admit I'm not a particular fan of Fantasy Island. I could, you know, I've read descriptions on it and could probably get into it. I just have never had the fortune to be able to catch the reruns. But I did find a clip of the show on YouTube in the opening there. And to be honest, it really didn't sound like it. The first movement kind of sounded a little bit like it, but it was a lot softer, and then the tune went off in another direction. And when I went ahead and checked into the music credits on the Fantasy Island show, there was nobody there I recognized who would have been a likely musical influence over Johnny Dollar. That's not to say that the theme is original to Johnny Dollar. It's actually was used on the Dick Tracy television show before it aired on Johnny Dollar over the radio, the Dick Tracy television show with Ralph Byrd that aired in the very early parts of the 1950s. We do have an email from Anita who says, "I've been listening to your show since the beginning. Nice to see your podcast grow. You have such energy and passion for great detectives." Thank you so much. Thank you, Anita. Keith writes, "I love these old shows. I especially like it with the old ads in them. It gives it a sense of time and place. I miss Box 13, but Let George Do It and Johnny Dollar are great. Rogue's Gallery is basically good, but I guess I've grown used to the goofy Cloud 8-bits. I have to admit, I don't always listen to the commentary, mostly because I want to get the whole radio program in before I get to work. Anyway, Adam, thanks for the effort. Every week, and keep them coming." Well, thanks so much, Keith. That'll about do it for listener comments. I do have a programming note coming up next week. If you saw on the counter, this is episode number 495, which means next week we'll hit episode 500. Well, for our 500th episode, we'll have a special 8 days from today, Saturday following, on September 24th, and it's a Lux Radio Theater episode, To the Ends of the Earth. It's a one-hour episode starring Mr. Dick Powell in a bit of a different role than the Richard Rogue and Richard Diamond role. This one's very realistic and educational as well as relevant to today. It's an hour-long special. I hope you will be listening on next Saturday, the 24th. You definitely want to check that out. But that'll do it for this week. Join us back here next week for our 500th episode, another episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And of course, on Monday, it'll be back to Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator. If you have a comment, send it to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us over on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and give us a call, 208-991-4783. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.